Hey, everybody. Have you ever thought of collaborating with someone and then find that you're carrying the heavy load of the partnership? Well, my guest today on Profit with a Plan is going to show us how we can collaborate with a win-win situation and make sure that you're both getting the benefit of the collaboration to do what you need to do. So join us on Profit with a Plan podcast with my guest, Tanya Fox. Hey, entrepreneurs, are you trying to make bigger profits in your small business? If you're like most of us business owners, increasing your profitability is always on your mind, and you're probably looking for ways to grow your revenue while growing your company. Well, you found a podcast that shares ideas to help you do just that. I'm Marcia Reiner, known as the Profit Booster and a business growth strategist. I've helped tons of small business owners to establish and implement a tangible plan that guarantees increased profitability and guides your growth and plans for a future exit. Because building a highly profitable and sale-ready business creates a win-win scenario. That's more money now and a windfall when it's time to let go. And I want to share strategies that I've learned with you on today's Profit with a Plan podcast. But before we get started, I have something special to share with you. Just my podcast audience, right? If you ever wanted to supercharge your business, avoid profit plateaus, operational headaches, or growth roadblocks? Well, I've created a brand new Profit Booster playbook just for you. You'll uncover three essential strategies and the quick way to take action on them. Now, this is not just a single-page report. It's filled with impactful strategies, actionable steps, and expert guidance to elevate your profits. Go download it for free at boostingprofit.com. All right, my guest today is Tanya Fox. After starting her business in 1998, Tanya quickly realized that entrepreneurship and collaboration was deep in her soul and would be a lifelong passion. She has owned service, retail, and franchise businesses, running all three of them today. She spends her days helping business owners with her five-step framework on how to repassion and grow through collaboration and stop trading minutes so that they can go from wanting to break up with you to with their business to falling deeply in love with it again. After seeing too many entrepreneurs struggling, she decided to write her books and help them grow profit, build relationship, and stop feeling alone. How to Collaborate is a step-by-step guide for everybody, no matter what level of business you're at. She can also be found on her weekly podcast, Fox Talks Business, with over 222 episodes being released. Wow, another podcast host and great guest. Welcome to Profit with a Plan, Tanya.
Oh, thank you for having me, Marcy. I'm excited for our conversation today.
Me too. So, we talk about things that we all go through, but I always like to cover a little bit of how you got into three businesses at the same time, right? Or did you run them separately?
No, well, it started off with one. When I first decided that the corporate gig kind of, I didn't want to do that for the rest of my life. And so I started an accounting company, was where I went into, because that was what my formal education was around. And then from there, after I kind of was in that, I had about 7 years underneath my belt, I was just kind of looking for something else to do. And I married an entrepreneur. So together we were like, oh, well, let's start one together, because he sort of had his baby, I had my baby. We're like, let's make a baby together. And so that's how like the multiple businesses started happening. And it's sort of like kids, after you kind of you got three and then you're like, well, what's one more? And so we really wanted to sort of dive into different avenues and try franchise and try retail. And so we realized that once you kind of have it down, you sort of you know how to take care of that baby, you know how to kind of grow it up. It became a lot easier to kind of to sort of get them started. And it's nice too, because when you kind of get to that plateau point where you're sort of like, all right, well, this is kind of the norm. It's fun
Been
to
there,
just kind of
done
sell
that,
them off.
right?
Yeah, it's like, here, somebody else take it. Go with love. And so, yeah, and that's how we kind of got into to multiple ownerships.
That's funny. You know, it is a common thing that us business entrepreneurs like the challenge of the business. And when it starts going and running on its own, it's like, all right, next, you know, yeah, let's sell it and move on, which is quite a common practice, you know, because we like that challenge of the upstart and the getting it going and the creativity of it. So I'm glad to hear that you're similar of it, but accounting, I love it. You know, there's numbers mean everything to your business. And so many business owners just can't stomach it. They don't understand it. Or if they do, they're not looking at the right stuff, or they're depending on their accountant to, you know, give them the answers they're looking for. And it's truly sad. So I love that another fellow numbers person is sitting across from me today for this. So speaking of collaboration, right, which is what we're doing right here today, it's a win-win scenario. You're on my show. We're getting lots of great information from you. And I love how you said that it has to be a partnership, right? Equal footing. So tell me, first of all, give me the good and the bad of collaboration, because I know there's been some really bad stuff going on.
Yeah. So, well, let's start with the bad. You know, we'll rip kind of the Band-Aid off. That's the fun one to kind of talk about. But it is a word that is getting thrown around a lot. And I've been, you know, I've been sort of working in this field and teaching people how to do collaborations for a long time. So it feels like the fact that it's a buzzword, I'm like, really? Like, I've sort of been in it for a long time. But what I'm seeing more and more, especially with social media, is that people are calling absolutely everything a collaboration. As soon as you do something with somebody, or as soon as they, you know, share a post, they're like, oh, I've collaborated with you. And, you know, so the word has gotten a lot bigger than what it used to be. And so what I tell people is, when you're sitting down to really think that you want to do a collaboration with somebody, the most important thing to remember is that a true collaboration means you both have skin in the game, which means you both have something to lose for this. Because what happens quite often is that people will go, well, I really want to collaborate with this person who's like bigger than me. And so I'm going to give, because I want them to think like, wow, she gave so much. This was so beneficial for me. But it's a slippery slope that you can get into, where you're the one who's constantly giving, you're the one who's doing all of the action steps and items. And now all of a sudden it feels like you're kind of working for this person, and they're reaping the benefits of your work. So there's a whole, you know, and then, you know, people might be sitting there and going, well, how the hell do I do that? Well, I've created forms of like check-ins while you're working with people to kind of go, okay, like, are we both pulling our weight here? So if you're not kind of doing that and you're not seeing that, that's sort of where collaborations can go on the bad side, where you leave going, well, yeah, I'm really great. It worked for you, but you know, I gave up all of this time and I didn't quite get that benefit. And that's really taking a step back and going, okay, am I coming to this person properly? Have I determined what they're going to be responsible for, what I'm going to be responsible for? Am I willing to be the one who is checking in and saying, you know, hey, you're not pulling your weight right now? Do you need to get him?
No. It's just, he's coming over to tell me this movie's over, surprisingly, when it was an hour and a half movie. So it's crazy. You know, with those random days off of school, you know, it always seems to happen. But
yeah, that's
it is
okay.
What it is.
That's so. Okay. I remembered where I was, so I'll go right back into
it. No. This is actually good, because you know what? In collaborations, right? You know, I mean, it's life. It's a podcast. I'm not going to cut it out. It's normal stuff. But I mean, coming in and talking about the stuff that says, hey, I did my research on you. I'm looking for this goal, right? Together, we hope to, you know, get new clients, right? And if we're going to get new clients, then I need to know that you're out promoting to your clients, and you need to know that I'm out promoting to my clients, right?
Yeah.
If it doesn't work, it's a waste of time.
Well, and you also have to put a time frame on stuff, especially if you're doing, you know, a referral type collaboration, because and you have to give enough time, right? Because depending on what industry you're in, sometimes it can take longer. Like if you're, you know, if you do something that everybody needs, say accounting, and you're like, oh, well, I'm an accountant, but they do something like, you know, business strategy, or they're doing, you know, if they're doing like strategy days or, you know, building and growth, it's going to be easy for them to go, oh, yeah, I know lots of people who need accountants. It's going to be easy to do referrals, right? Where if they're more of a niche topic, maybe you don't have the type of clients that are going to need their service right away. So exactly. Really being like honest about who you have in your, you know, in your referral base is really important. And if that's like, I don't really know when I'm going to refer you, but like, you know, I want to talk about, you know, some different things that we can do, just being open and honest with that. And the other really important thing is, depending on, you know, what type of collaboration you want to do with them, you know, usually we'll get this idea in our head, especially as female entrepreneurs, just as females, I would say, not even on, just as females, that you play out the whole scenario in your head, right? You're like, this is what we're going to do together, and it's going to be awesome, and this is what we're going to achieve. And you kind of have it all, like, it's all planned out when you go to them.
Of course it is.
Right? You're like, this is the way we're going to do it. But what can sometimes happen, especially if it's with someone new, is that it takes them aback a little bit. I always refer it to the guy who's in the trench coat, who like opens his trench coat and it's just like full of watches. And he's like, do you want to buy a watch? And you're like, whoa, back up, buddy. Like, so it's great to have an idea of like, I think this is what we should do together, and it would be amazing. But the most important question you need to ask somebody is, you know, what do you think? What would you like to see happen? Because as soon as you can get that other person to go, you know what? What if we did this? It doesn't matter if it's a great idea or it's a shitty idea. As soon as they go, what if we did this? You have a buy-in. Now they're interested. Right? Now they're showing you like, I'm thinking about this on a bigger scale. And it's important for you to, again, not play the whole thing out in your head, or at least not tell them, and be open to changing. Because again, that person might go, well, I don't really want to do that, but I'm willing to do this. Right. So if you're open to that, you can kind of sort of change it, deviate it, you know, it's going to evolve for something that works, you know, for both of you. So keeping that open mind is really, really crucial.
Love it. So now that we're kind of on that positive side of collaboration, let's talk about some of the ideas that collaboration can do, right? Because we know when two people come together, they can do so much more than one person doing it alone. But if you had three people or four people or five people, I mean, it could even be that much better or worse. But, you know, right. Let's focus on the good side more. A lot of chefs in the kitchen, right? Nothing getting done. But let's talk about some of the ideas of collaboration, because when we think about it, you know, in the traditional sense, it's two people working together, right?
Yeah.
What are some of the ideas that collaboration can really, you know?
So, and I wrote about these in my book to give some, you know, starter ones, because sometimes people come in and they're like, oh, I want to work with this huge company. I'm like, okay, back up that train. Like, let's learn how to ride a pony before you get onto a stallion bareback.
Right.
So really starting small is important, and starting with one person, because what this is going to do is it's going to strengthen how you do this, how you deal with it. So some of the easy ones to start with are something like a trade collaboration. So this could be trading services just with each other. This could be you finding someone who, say, does social media help, but they also need help in, say, bookkeeping, or, you know, and you can go, okay, well, you do my social media for me, I'll do your bookkeeping for you, and then maybe we can trade. So it can be something as simple as that. It can be a co-author collaboration. So maybe you want to write an article or a newsletter, but you're like, you know, I've tried this before, but I find it really hard to sit down and come up with all of this context. You could team with somebody who's in a similar or complementary industry, and together you could create a newsletter, or you could create, you know, an email marketing campaign that goes out. So you have somebody else who's helping you, you know, create all of those things that are going to go into a newsletter, but you're both reaching each other's audience. Right. This is done in books all the time, like Chicken Soup for the Soul. I mean, almost everybody's heard of those. That is a collaboration between the two gentlemen who started it. I mean, now it's a lot bigger, but originally it was two guys who started it, and they were just like, hey, we want to write this book. Come give us your story. and we're going to have it published. So people were getting published without having to write, you know, over 100,000 words, which is brutally hard to do. I can tell you that from
yes, doing. I agree. As a three-time author myself, yeah. Writing books take a lot longer than you think.
You think it's easy, but it's not. It can even be something like an event-based collaboration. So say you want to put on an event, but you don't, you know, you want other people to come in with you. I'm seeing this a lot more with service-based businesses. Mm. They want to do like a retreat for their clients, but they don't want to kind of put it all in. So together you could create a bigger group. You can have more sessions and other people that are teaching. And it's also taking the stress off you because you're not trying to do this 3 or 4 day retreat all by yourself.
Right.
So that's just a few of the ideas that people can use to sort of get their foot in the door, get a feel for how it works before you go into what I call the complex collaborations, which like you said, you've got more people involved. Usually you'll have money involved. We just finished one where we did it with an employee. So we had 6 or 7 businesses that were bricks and mortar, and they needed people, like they needed staff, but they didn't really want, like they didn't have enough hours for full time. So right. What we did is we did a collaboration together where we hired one woman who again got bored at one job. And she worked for all 6 different businesses. So everybody pooled together into one pot. There was a calendar and they all shared her. So it's working really well because this one person has diversity in their job. They're not doing the same thing all of the time. And all of these businesses can actually take time off. Wow. Without the full cost of like, okay, I want to keep this employee, but how am I going to keep her on? So between all of them, she's fully employed. She has a full-time job and they're all only paying, you know, a sixth of what it would cost them. So there's different things like that, that you can sort of do in, get involved into to be able to have staff and not have that overhead cost, especially as you're just starting to dip your toe into delegating, which as entrepreneurs, we all know is a hard thing to start doing.
It is. It's the biggest. Oh no.
Yeah.
You know, and the fear of hiring, you know, especially your first hire. Oh my gosh. It's like, oh, do I have to pay these benefits? Do I have to do this? What rules do I have? What, you know, it's a big fear and weight of, oh my gosh, what if they don't work out? Right.
Yeah.
And all those things. So what a beautiful way to start out, you know, with an experience that you're not familiar with in hiring and hire a shared employee, you know?
Yeah.
So I love the view on collaboration from every angle a collaboration can be on, whether in one of my groups that I belong to, a professional network, we often collaborate with clients, right? Mm-hmm. So I may do one portion of it and bring in an expert that does other portions of it. And so we collaborate on that as well. So they're kind of, if you imagine, kind of subcontractors of sort.
Yeah.
You know, I don't pay them, but I bring them in because I've vetted them and done all the work and know that they're going to deliver a quality solution for my clients that need it. So I think that's also another way of calling it a collaboration, right?
And exactly. And it's a great way for you to expand what your base is. And, you know, for one of my businesses, that's how I started expanding, because in the accounting world, I knew that there was something missing, you know, in the organization, in the bookkeeping. So I started going out and like researching and finding those bookkeepers that I really liked and saying, hey, do you want to do a deal together? I'm going to send clients your way. And in response to that, you know, we're going to sort of work out the financial back end of it. I knew I had a dedicated person. I liked their work. I was able to refer stuff. And I also got priority for my clients. Right. What it did for them is it got them the business, which they didn't have to go out and search for. And for me, it allowed me to offer another service in my business. So it made me more rounded as a whole. So that's where, again, the win-win is. The other person is like, I don't have to do anything. You're just going to throw business my way. Deal.
Funny enough, somebody approached me with that opportunity just last week. And I thought, wow, this could be really beneficial, right? if I did this and this for them, you know, they were able to feed clients my way. And, you know, I love it. I think when we do things like that, though, don't we have to have certain standards that we
absolutely
abide by, right? Both on both sides, right?
Yeah. And it's really just being truthful and sitting down. And again, if it's anything to do with money changing hands or switching clients, it's sitting down and running the numbers and going, does this make sense right now? And also 6 months or a year down the road to go, is that what actually happened? Because at the beginning, you're projecting numbers. You're going, right. I'm
you're
thinking
all,
this is
you're
what
all
it's going to work.
In the honeymoon phase too, right?
Yeah. So it's really sitting down and being honest and going, this is what I actually reaped from this collaboration. Does it make sense? And sometimes I've had them where I'm like, oh, that was great. I made way more money. And other times when I looked at the money or I looked at the time, I went, you know what? This took a lot more time than what we thought it was going to. And at the end, you know, it was great, but I don't think I'm going to do it again. So I will always put a time frame on a collaboration because that allows me to take a step back and also allows you to take a step out. Because it's easier if you have a time frame to go, well, that was really great. Like, you know, that worked really well. Thank you so much. I enjoyed it. I'm just moving on to other projects right now. If you leave no time frame, then you're kind of stuck indefinitely. It can be really hard to say to somebody, this just isn't working.
Right.
Because I've had that where you're like, I don't want to do this with you anymore. It's hard to break up with people. And I have a section in my book about breaking up with people. It's difficult to do. It's like breaking up with a relationship. But if you have that time frame, it's a lot easier to go, you know what? Our time together has ended. It was great. Thank you so much. Like, I've got a bunch of other stuff on my shelf, but you know, let's stay in touch. That's a lot easier to do when you have an end date.
Exactly. I love that. So putting parameters on the relationship that you have coming in. How do you enforce standards or you know, the relationship expectations? Is it difficult to do that when you're in a collaborative event? Because they're not employees, right? You're
right.
Not their employees. They're not your employees, but you know, you expected something, you know, more from them. How do you deal with that?
So in this case, any collaboration needs a lead collaborator. So this is the person who's overseeing it. Typically, this is whoever came up with the idea in the first place and broached it. So you are always going to have a little bit more work, but it's those check-ins that are so crucially important. That initial conversation of sitting down with someone and saying, okay, what am I responsible for? What do you want to be responsible for? And having that agreement, putting it in writing. And that could just be a simple email of saying, this is what you said you were going to do. This is what I said I was going to do. You know, if there's timelines, certain things need to get done. And just constantly checking in with them. I will constantly check in with people and say, you know, here's where our things are. Usually I will virtue it if it's a new one of saying, you know, here's what I needed to have accomplished. Here's what I've done. Could you just give me an update on what you have? Did you need help with anything? It's easier to check in with someone and say, hey, did you get this? You know, this stuff is due next week. Did you get a chance to get this done? Did you need any help with it? Than to just be upset and being like, why isn't this person getting stuff done?
Or
and
I'll just do it myself, right?
Yeah. And sometimes it's a reminder that they're like, oh my God, I forgot I needed to do that. And all of a sudden, you know, because there are people who are last minute.
Right.
I'm married to one of those. So it's just learning how to deal with that. But having that sort of timeline where you're both can be on the same page makes that conversation or that email a little easier to be like, hey, we're coming up to our timelines. And there's tons of different programs out there that you can use to keep you both accountable that will automatically send stuff and say, hey, you were supposed to do this. You know, here's kind of what's on your list. So like Asana, there's a bunch of different ones that you can use.
With anything though, you know, when you put this idea of collaboration, it's a relationship.
Yes.
This relationship could be with setting expectations for your customers, right? Setting expectations for your employees, setting expectations for yourself. You know, things that you would normally do in any relationship, you do it with the partner that you're teaming up with to do this thing. We'll call it maybe an event, or what do you call it when you call the result, right? Do you have a name or a title that you call it when you're doing something together?
It depends on the type of collaboration we're doing. So usually, like I have, like I had said, the trade collaboration, a co-author collaboration, event-based. It's so it depends on exactly what the project is. But sometimes I'm all about names. So I will like create a name or a title for it so that it's just easier, you know, if
sure.
I'm
so
talking
you know
to
what you're
somebody.
talking about.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's funny. I did a collaboration with a couple of folks, and we initially called it the Squirrel Summit because we were all,
Yeah.
you know.
But it's an easy name to go be like, hey, I want to sort of talk to you about the squirrel. You know, it just adds that title onto it.
It does. It does. It was fun. It was fun. But yeah, I've been involved in so many collaborations, and I think most of them, we'll call them, you know, a high percentage of them, you know, were very rewarding, right? I got a skill out of it. I got knowledge out of it. I gained clients out of it. I gained a financial reward out of it. You know, something came out of it. It may not have always ended up the way I thought it would in the beginning, because like you said, you know, I've laid it all out in the plan, but I always gained something really valuable out of it. So I love collaborating in the terms of working with other people, because so many of us business owners live in this little bubble, right? We're in our own little tube of thinking this is where we are, and you know, I have to do all the heavy lifting, but we don't.
Well, and it's too hard to do it. It's too hard to do it. And I, you know, I always remember my dad saying to me, you know, you don't have to make all of the mistakes yourself. Other people have made them. So just learn off of them. And I thought, well, that's easier. And so collaboration.
I think so. Try telling your kids that, right?
Yeah,
let me tell
exactly.
You how I did it so you don't have to. And they're like, no.
I'm not you. I won't. Yeah, I did the same thing. So as adults, hopefully we'll learn off of that. But even, you know, I tell my clients, I just had one last week, you know, at the end of it, she sort of looked back and she was like, that didn't work out. You know, what they wanted at the end didn't work out. And it was event-based type collaboration. And she was like, it didn't work out. It was horrible. And I was like, okay, well, let's take a look at why. And this is where at the end of a collaboration, sitting down and really doing an assessment, what worked, what didn't work, why did it work? Why did it not work? Helps you to move into the next one, because it also gives you that gut check. If you were like, oh, well, I didn't do a lot of stuff that was on my task list. You know, or really, you know, with also with having two people, you know, for the event-based one, I said, talk to them. Why weren't people showing up to this event? Why, you know, what is it from their point of view? What did they find difficult promoting it? Whatever the case may be. What ended up happening is after them having that conversation, they realized, oh, we know that some of the stuff that went wrong, we're going to do this again. And it's going to be the same event, but we're going to word it a little bit differently because people weren't understanding. Mm. So those types of conversations are really important. So even though it doesn't, you know, some collaborations don't work out, you're still gaining some, like you said, there's a skill, there's still something, you know, now know going into the next one, okay, this is what we need to do differently because I've sort of had this experience. And sometimes that experience is, I am not working with that person again. And I've had that where somebody like seemed fantastic, but they just don't get the work done. And I was just like, you know, I'll write it down. Like every collaboration I do, I keep a folder. And I'm honest, like I constantly had to check in with this person, or they needed a lot of reassurance. And then when they come back to me, I can kind of go to that like little black book and go, what was this like the last time I worked with them? So that either I can say no, because I know it's not going to work, or I can be prepared going, I know this person needs a lot of check-ins. I know they need, you know, me to follow up with them. And I can be more prepared for that next time. But that communication, keeping that open and going, hey, how are things going? Are you still super excited about this? Like, what else can we do? Those things help people to stay invested, right? Otherwise, it's easy to forget because we've got a lot of stuff going on.
Exactly. And you know, sometimes these collaborations can take on a life of their own. So it's like creating a whole nother business or company or job, right? Because you have so many tasks to do it. But, you know, setting those parameters, right? What's the goal? What am I doing this for, right? And where's the benefit? And I know that when you get those relationships where someone's a lot higher and someone's a lot lower, or even in, I had this client that would go out and, get influencers to do part of the marketing for them. And they always felt like, oh, well, they didn't do their job. And I'm like,
very common.
Yeah. You know, it's like, well, did you set clear expectations for them? What you were, what in the same language that you both speak, right? This is what I want from you, you know, or this is what I'm paying you for. And having that, having those expectations, I think are key to every collaboration.
Well, and really like asking those hard questions, because I see this a lot of people going, oh, I collaborated with an influencer. And I'm like, and how is that working out for you? And usually the answer is like, well, it's not what I expected. And I'm like, okay, well, the one thing that you have to understand is that audience, like total numbers of followers, doesn't mean anything at all. Because I've seen it before. You know, I have two ladies who are in my year-long program right now. One has over 100,000 followers. Her struggle is every time she puts something out, she's not getting sales. Whereas the other one has 1,101. And every time she puts something out, she sells out every single time. And so it's a reminder to, are you asking the questions like, have you done this type of collaboration before, where you're putting stuff out, and what was your ROI on it? How many people connected to that? Look in, who have they done it for before, and contact that company and go, how many sales did you get out of this? Because exactly, that's going to give you the real numbers. Because a lot of times they go, well, I just put it out on my page, I'm not responsible for the sale. Okay. But how many people are clicking on your links? What right. is that back end numbers?
And that's what you said in the beginning, though. They've got to have skin in the game, right?
Yes.
And so if you have an influencer that wants to be charged, you know, paid, you know, $1,000 for a promotion, I'm just throwing a round number out there, but they want to be paid $1,000 for the promotion, wouldn't it be nice to say, well, I'll pay you X, and then you're going to get some of the sales that come in, or you're going to get commission on the sales. So that way that they're more motivated in getting their revenue, not just because they're a model and they show up on TV, but exactly. because they did the work, right? And they yeah. had the audience. And also you made the initial movement that influencer is talking to your audience, your ideal customer, right?
Yes.
So there's other clicks that have to come into play to make it all work out. And I think that we, as looking for the collaboration, have to understand what our expectations are and what they're capable of doing too.
Yeah. And looking at it and going, what does this look like? Because like you said, if they're like, you're going to pay me $1,000 and I'm going to put it out, you're in a transaction, not a collaboration. Because you're going, I'm paying you and you're doing something for that money. I'm going to trade you money and you're going to give me a service for it. So again, it's that buy-in. What do they have to lose? And if there isn't anything to lose, you can decide, is this still something that I want to go forward with? Or do I, like you said, do I want to have them have more skin in the game? Do I want to say, I'm only going to pay you half of what your rate is, and then the other half is going to come from your commissions. But if you sell more, you get paid more. You know, so that is where some of the incentive could come in, because now you've got this influencer who's like, oh, I can make a ton of money off of this. Right. So it's just, again, this is why numbers are so important in collaborations. It's playing around with those numbers to go, is this going to make sense at the end of the day for both of us? And am I going to be happy with this? And then watching them all the way through, you know, do they go up and down? Because watching the numbers all the way through too helps you also to celebrate, to be like, hey, we are over what our goal was. This is amazing, you know? And then that person's like, oh my God, this is so exciting. Well, you know, and we still have time left. Let's go harder. So keeping that excitement up really helps when you know, how is it going? Or to go, okay, hey, this isn't working. Let's change it up a little bit so that we can make this successful when we get to that end date.
Wow. This is great information and great nuts and bolts about collaboration success and making it a successful collaboration. I think is super valuable. So Tanya, you keep talking about the benefit of it. So in our benefit here, how can listeners find out more about you so that way they can, you know, our collaboration can be a little bit more mutual as well?
So
did I say that right? I know.
You did. You did.
Like, how can I word that? How can I word that in a way that sounds like a collaboration as a win-win? So
yeah, it definitely is. So people can find me on my website at foxtalksbusiness.com. For your audience members specifically, if they go to foxtalksbusiness.com/free, I created a very special download for them. And in it just talks a little bit about collaboration, how to start thinking outside of the box, because we hear that term a lot, but people are like, you have to be creative. You don't. So I put a couple of sheets in there for people to just try really fun, easy exercises to start thinking differently about objects and then about your business. And then, of course, about collaborations. And then there also is just a brainstorm sheet of different things they can try to start doing collaborations. And of course, on my website, too, they can find how to get my book, How to Collaborate, which again is the step-by-step guide, has everything you need. It is everything I teach in my courses. You can just read it and go and do it all by yourself.
Wow. Super high value. Super, super high value. So, you know, audience, it's like, it's so important that you realize that nobody made a successful company all by themselves.
Nope.
Nobody does it alone. They all use collaboration, whether hiring and leveraging key employees or partnering with referral sources or partnering with people to do things with, to develop, to create, to implement, to ship. I mean, everything we do in business involves a collaboration. And I think it's super important that you think about it, like you said, outside the box. And how can you put it and make it a win-win? So this has been really, really valuable, Tanya, to think about it in a different way and how many different layers you can peel back on collaborations. You've been
super helpful. And I would love to say to your guests too, if they found value in this, how they can help and start working into the collaboration is post this episode that you listen to it. Make sure you tag Marcia, make sure you tag me, because that's how we're going to all share it. And not only do you get a great episode that you get to listen to, because of course everybody loves Marcia's episodes, but you're also going to get more reach. So make sure that you're tagging people in your posts and let them know that you're thinking of them. That little thing is also something that's going to help you get the foot in the door. If later you're like, I've always wanted to collaborate with her, you got to show her the love first.
I love that. See, listeners, it comes from a podcast host, another podcast host that knows how to promote a collaboration that we've done here today. So really good ideas that came out of that. Thanks, Tanya. All right. So I hope you found a couple ideas to put into your business that will help you become more profitable. And I know that, you know, collaboration is an awesome way to really just take your business to the next level. Meet people you haven't met before and, you know, kind of that giver's gain kind of thing. If you give a little, someone's going to give back and you can do that. So there's many different angles you can get out of collaborations. Well, as I mentioned, how would you like to supercharge your business? Go download my new Profit Booster playbook packed with 3 strategies and the actionable steps that you can use to make this your most profitable year. Go grab it for free at boostingprofit.com. And Tanya, and I would love to hear your feedback, questions. Give us your idea. Tell us the one thing you want to collaborate on really bad. And you never know, we may be those people that can connect you to the person that you want to do it with. So hit us up in the comments. Tell us what you want to collaborate on and if you're looking for someone to collaborate with. And we'll see if we can help you and comment on your comments. And while you're at it, please subscribe. You don't want to miss future shows. And you can catch Profit with a Plan on any of your favorite podcast players. We're looking forward to more great, profitable information on next week's show. So until then, make your plans and profit with them. Thanks so much, Tanya.
Thank you.